Okay, we'll get back into Galatians for a while anyway. And again, Paul's dealing with the saints in Galatia. False teachers, Judaizers have come there adding to the gospel, seeking really to bring them back into a bondage to the flesh and human works. And Paul here to the Galatians has made the point that we're at liberty in Christ. We're free in Christ. We have liberty, but liberty is not the same as license. And he kind of summarizes some of that in this section back in chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And of course, Paul deals with the flesh. He deals with the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. And here in chapter 6, he looks at some of the application of that, this outworking of living in love, of serving one another in love. And in verse 1, we looked at the last couple weeks, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That's the outworking of love, and we'll talk about it more as we go on. Love is doing. It's not some warm butterfly feeling. It's doing. It's doing right. Certainly by the brethren, to the brethren, and doing right even to our enemies. Doing right. It's not this thing that is abroad today, embracing sinfulness, embracing the sin. Now Paul said in verse 1 there, restore such a one. He didn't say, accept him. Accept that weakness. Accept him in his sin. He continues on in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens. That word burden can be taken of many things. It can be taken of, you know, what we suffer as a Christian for being a Christian. It's often also applies to the burdens, to the sins we bear and that we feel, the sins of the child of God. Again, bear with them. Seek to restore them. But it doesn't say to excuse them. Doesn't say to condone them. Doesn't say to silently endure them. I mean, if you preach the plain, simple word of God today about many of the sins that God condemns, they'll send people out the door. They'll say you're unkind, you're unloving, you're not Christ-like. Those folks have never read of the ministry and life of Christ when they say those things. Rather, we're to reprove, we're to instruct when it comes to the sins of the brethren. And they have sins. We have sins. Paul wrote to young Timothy, who was pastor at the church at Ephesus, in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Do it when it's convenient. Do it when it's not convenient. Preach the word. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Kind of sounds like a time I know of. Maybe our time. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. You don't want somebody to scratch your ears, make you feel good. Those TV preachers, those health and wealth preachers. I never saw where Paul preached anything like these guys preach. But the time will come, he says, they won't endorse sound doctrine. They won't put up with it. They'll get another preacher. Or they'll get another church. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. See, people hear the truth and they turn their ears away from it. Do you know what happens then? They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now you reject the truth, you'll believe just about anything that comes down the pike. You'll embrace all this false doctrine that's abroad. You'll not be able to discern because you don't want to. So they turn their ears, but they're turned to fables. But watch thou in all things, young Timothy, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So we bear one another's burdens by reproof, rebuke, exhortation, by seeking to restore. Burdens, again, those things that God brings to the child of God. I don't know how many have read the old book, Pilgrim's Progress, but it used to be on as many bookshelves as the Bible, pretty much. Every Christian home had one. And in it, Christian is a sensible sinner. He has this great burden. God awakens people to their burdens and to their sins, or they don't know, or they don't care. The Lord says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. The unregenerate are not heavy laden. They're fine with their sins. There's also the sensitive saint, you know, that feels his shortcomings, and we ought. Contrast that to what some people call, at times, the self-willed saint. And sometimes maybe we've been stubborn, but I think if one continues in being self-willed, you know, that's almost a contradiction of terms, a self-willed saint. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I walked an aisle and prayed a prayer one day. Well, bless your heart. That does nothing. People say, well, I accepted Jesus. Does he accept you? The Lord said, time's going to come. He's going to say, they're going to come before him. They're going to say, we did all these wonderful works. We built hospitals. We fed the hungry. We did all these. The Lord's going to say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. We're to bear one another's burdens. We're to seek to make it not easy, but to make it to where one can be restored, to where one can make his way. And so burdens are understood of those sins of the saint, of the awakened sinner, of the sensible sinner, as the old preachers used to say. And burdens as well speak of the afflictions and trials that come upon the godly as a result of godly living. You say, oh, you know, poor me. Well, I can't think of anybody I'd want to trade places with. Say, well, it's hard to be a Christian. Yeah, it's a whole lot harder to not be. And it's going to become harder before it's all finished. But we should seek to, as we can, to lessen, to alleviate, to bear one another's burdens. little flock, little group. I think to some extent now the Lord's opened up that, you know, I have fellowship with folks all over the world. I don't see them face to face, but we can encourage. We can help. We can strengthen. I mean, I've seen folks, not that I'm great shakes, but I've seen some folks that, you know, have grown as I've had opportunity to testify to them about some things. And I think, you know, I've grown as well as a result of what bear one another's burdens. In Romans, Paul says in Romans 15, verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now we ought to bear, maybe in the physical sense, maybe under persecution as well, their shortcomings. You know, not to blow them away. Seek to restore in meekness. And Paul's going to expound upon some of this as well. He writes to the saints in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. He says, now we exhort you, brethren. This is love. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Lord, thanks about people like me too. You know, the feeble-minded. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. When I have a hard time being patient with people, I try to think about how the Lord's been patient with me. I mean, what He's put up with from me. I mean, if I were God, I would have smashed me like a bug by now. Be patient toward all men. I say there, but for the grace of God, were I, and at one point in time, perhaps, there I was. It would still be, but for the grace of God. You know, the Lord teaches us. We grow. I've had brethren in the past. If I went right down the line with them, it was like, you know, we won't fellowship. Well, were you always here? Is that what you always did? Did the Lord teach you and bring you along? And certainly you had to with me. And in doing these things, he says, Paul, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so fulfill the law of Christ. God's word is the law of Christ. And the Lord explained that to his disciples. He explains it to us in John 13. The Lord said, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another. Well, Scripture talks about loving one another. But the Lord says that ye love one another as I have loved you. Self-sacrificial love. We can't imagine. It's mind-boggling to me. Again, we sang Man of Sorrows. Who was this Man of Sorrows? He was Jehovah God. He became a man. He had all of our infirmities without sin. Love is as I have loved you. We can't possibly imagine what he left and what humiliation it was. Scripture says he humbled himself and became a man. Yeah. That you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Again, it's self-sacrificial. We'll look at how it's expounded, particularly in the life of our Lord. In verse 35 of John 13, the Lord concludes that section. But by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Again, that self-sacrificial giving, sometimes it's admonishing, sometimes it's rebuking, but it's always seeking to restore. God's love, and the kind of love that He would have His saints to exhibit, is a self-sacrificial love. That's what scriptural love is. It's giving of self. Probably the most famous verse in the Bible, the most abused verse in the Bible, but an absolutely true verse without any exception. Again, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Cosmos there. Look up world throughout Scripture. It does not, very seldom does it mean, if ever, every person without exception. But it speaks of people without distinction. God so loved the world that He gave. Love? He loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Brethren, if the Holy Spirit has given you repentance and faith, and you've come to Christ in repentance and faith, you shall not perish. Brother Hart, even at that hymn I sang, spoke of perseverance. Said it's a doctrine that's dear to me, because the Lord has promised me that I shall persevere. Not from my own works. The Lord's promised that I'll persevere. Because He preserves His people. Love the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, and that word ETH in your King James Bible, it speaks usually of like a, I'm not as good on my parts of speech as I used to be. So the participle where it has ing, I can't remember. But he that is believing on Him, he that is believing on Him should not perish. This is not make a deal. It's not Monte Hall. All you unregenerates and reprobates, come out there, come up front and make some kind of a profession. Say you believe in Christ, and then you go back and live like the devil. That is not the gospel. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Not if he keeps himself. Not if he works hard enough. Not if he gets baptized. Not if he gets circumcised. That whosoever believeth in Him, those that are believing in Him, that's descriptive. Those that are believing in Him should not perish. Why? Because their faith is so good, their faith is so strong. No, we've been studying all through Galatians, because they were given the faith of Christ. They believed because they were given the faith of Christ. Without that gift, no man will come to Christ. No, all these Arminians is, well, everybody's got the ability to believe. No, they don't. All you got to do is believe. Even before the Lord really made sovereign grace clear to me, that always made me scratch my head. How do you just decide I'm going to start believing? Okay, I don't believe now, but if you'll believe, what, I just make a decision to believe? All of a sudden I just start believing? And that's what does it? No, it's the Holy Spirit gives you life and gives you the faith of Christ. again, we take all this in context. People wrench John 3:16 out of context. We read all that Paul says and throughout scriptures about being given the gift of faith, being given the faith of Christ, exercising the faith of Christ. I'm glad it's not dependent on my faith. I would be undone. I would be lost. Shall not perish. So our brother this week was talking about, you know, scriptures talk about when a saint comes to Christ, the angels rejoice. Now, let's say, okay, so that saint goes on and he stumbles and he loses his salvation. What were the angels rejoicing over? No. Whosoever believeth should not perish. Or we could say shall not perish, and I can get on my little rant about being a hard shell Baptist, because that's a hard shell. Should not, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting. That means, well, then how do these Arminians, these free will people say, well, you got saved. I hate that terminology. You got saved? It's like, what? I got the chicken pox. Now, God saved you. Whosoever believeth should not perish. Shall not perish. But they have everlasting life. But you got saved and you had everlasting life, but you lost it. Somebody explain to me what everlasting means. I mean, God says what he means. Whosoever believeth, those that are believing in him, have everlasting life. And Galatians 2 and 20, again, we see that God's love, the love he would have us to give, have, is a giving love. Is a doing right by people love. You know, we can do right by our enemies. We're not have big, you know, butterflies. But do right. Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. What a wonderful thought that is, right? The old man is crucified with. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live, by the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God. The faith of Christ. Not by my own faith, not by my own doing, not by my own decision. The faith. You know what? Once the Lord teaches you about the doctrines of grace, it becomes a whole lot easier to preach. You can just say what the Bible says. You don't have to try to explain stuff away. The Bible becomes an open book when the Lord opens your eyes about the doctrines of grace. And I'm not saying people have to understand all the details. I still don't. In order to be saved. But I do know there comes great peace, great contentment, as the Lord teaches us these things. And I pray that for all, and I can't look at people's hearts. By the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, he loved me, and gave himself for me. He loved me and he gave himself for me. The kind of love Christ had was a self-sacrificial love. It was a giving love. And that's the kind of love that we're to have. And then I'll close with this verse. The example that Christ uses of marriage. And something so despaired today. It's an important thing, folks. God didn't look down there one time and say, oh man, look at that human marriage, husband, kind of reminds me of the relationship of Christ and his church. You know, God designed it this way. Anyway, in Ephesians 5, verse 25, Paul says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Particularly in the case of Christ, and if not specifically usually implied throughout Scripture, love and giving. Loved his church and gave himself for it. And so we're to seek to give to each other. We're to seek to meet each other's needs, to bear each other's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. May the Lord give us strength and wisdom and guidance to do that. I need it. Maybe you do too. But His grace is sufficient. We'll take our hymnals today and sing a closing hymn, number 218. A long time ago, we used to go to a church. I think we sang this song. Was it every Sunday night? Or it wasn't every Sunday morning, but I think maybe every Sunday night or else every Wednesday night or something. God be with you, number 218. And I like to sing all kind of hymns, but I never really got tired of this one either. God be with you till we meet again. If you like, you can stand as we sing this out. I pushed the wrong button.
Till we meet again.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gathering of the saints. Father, we thank you for your preserved word that we can hold in our hands, open and read, and hear from on high. Father, we thank you for your election, for the assurance that all that the Father gave you shall come to you. For the promise of perseverance by your grace, by your strength. Father, I pray you go with each of us as we leave here, that you use us this week. Help us, Lord, to be discerning, to understand truly what is the love of Christ, to manifest it towards the brethren, towards others. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be courageous. Father, we pray for those who need your healing, for those who need your comfort. Pray for our sister churches around the world that are meeting today. Thank you, Lord, for one another. Thank you, Lord, most for our Savior. And we pray in His name. Amen. Amen.